Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam. And we are here with a fun emergency catastrophe bonus episode for you. Just talking about this new administration that's coming in and kind of chatting about how we were feeling and kind of modeling the processing that we've both gone through, kind of dealing with this and the stress and the tension and the uncertainty that not only we've been feeling with ourselves, but that we've been seeing in our communities, in our online scrolling, doom scrolling. And we just wanted to touch base with you on that.
Yeah. And it kind of, this episode came about because I was feeling very down. And Sam is very good at sharing about history and, you know, reminding us that we're more capable than we think we are. So that's also the context of kind of going into this episode is I was spiraling and Sam brought me back a little bit.
This is a big Sam's history corner episode. So bear with me. I kind of go into the weeds a little bit on things. But that is what helps me process a lot of the stuff that's going on. So yeah.
We hope you enjoy.
Bye. So full disclosure, we're recording this the day of the inauguration. So
we're having a great day.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm actually okay.
Yeah.
I come from a long line of like insane optimists. And so I sometimes can be that way, like against better judgment, maybe depending on the situation. But I'm really angry. Mm-hmm. I feel really frustrated. I feel really resentful. I hate that we are in this position. I can point the finger a million different directions. And really all of that is just kind of talking about grief.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very fair to say that there are big issues in this country. There are big problems. There are huge gaps in rights, access to resources, services, systems, justice, like all of it. There are issues. I just think in no way are any of the people who are now in charge qualified in any version to like truly change those things.
Yeah, I think it's really hard because like, right, we just watched some of the executive orders go out and some of the priorities and stuff. And I think it is so hard to watch things be on the agenda that, right, like trans people are 0.1% of the population. It might even be less than that.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, you know, we both live in Florida and like there is a total abortion ban here. Essentially, it's 6 weeks. You know, people are literally dying in ERs, which I'm not going to argue with anyone about.
No.
But I think, you know, before we started recording, you were like, I'm glad it's over, which is probably a good place to be.
Well, and I think I should add like a caveat to that. I think when I say that, I mean, obviously it's just started.
Yeah.
However, I think what has been particularly anxiety provoking and overwhelming for me, and I think for a lot of the people that I've seen online, different content creators, commenters, posts, whatever, is we've been existing in this absolutely horrific buildup.
Yeah.
And I think people's anxieties have run off the rails in what could happen, what will happen, what should happen, what won't happen. And now there's this part of me that's like, okay, we can just live in it.
Yeah. We can and deal with it as it comes.
We can actually deal with it factually rather than kind of having it wrapped in all of this mystery and intrigue and nobody knows. And he's saying all these comments, but he technically can't do anything yet, but he's saying he's going to do this in the future. And so I feel like the election was what, November 8th? So like the last 10, 11 weeks have just been like an anxious free-for-all. of uncertainty. And so I'm kind of the opinion of like, let's just fucking do it and get in it and see what it's going to be and finally have some direction on what we need to be fighting and advocating for and coalescing around. I think that's when I say like, I'm glad the inauguration is just over. I think that is, that's where my mind goes.
Yeah. I get that. I get that.
What about you?
I think there is a, I think there is something that makes sense to sort of being glad that it's over. And ironically, I live my life like that, unfortunately. And it's something I'm trying to work on where I unfortunately have a pattern of being like, just got to get through this week. Just got to get through this. Just got to get through that. And
for
then
the rest
like,
of your life.
Yeah. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, good. There is no, I will be happy when, right? There is just life that's happening.
Yeah, just survival.
So that's sort of my default. It's just weird. I don't know exactly how I feel. Obviously, I'm like angry. I think I'm just resigned isn't the right word because I'm not resigned. I am just like flooded, I think.
Yeah.
And like, I like
emotional overwhelm.
Yeah. And the idea of like what to do and stuff like that. And I think in general, and we talked about this on the election episode that we did in November, which you could go back and listen to if you haven't yet. It's like us stumbling through this in real time.
Yeah.
But I think that is what's kind of fun about us. Not fun, but good about us, Sam, is like you are very optimistic and I fall into more like nihilism sometimes. Yeah. So I think it's like a good, maybe not a good balance, but I can be more realistic and I think you bring the hope and that's really good and it's something I need in my life. I try to come back to, I don't know if it's going to be okay, but like I'll be there.
Yeah, no.
That's what I try to do for people in my life. Other than it's just like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is wild. But we can be there for each other and community is more important than ever. And that's at least what we can promise each other.
Yeah. And that's – that truly is how I feel. And I think – I never ever want it to come across as I'm sitting here ignorantly like, well, it's just – we're just going to skate through and like nothing bad's going to happen. Like, no.
Yeah.
I am terrified for – my immigrant neighbors.
Yeah.
I am terrified for women. I am terrified for my trans friends. I am terrified for my gay friends.
Yeah.
It's just devastating that this is the place that we're in. I am terrified for my Jewish friends.
Yeah.
As we see Elon Musk throwing up what is probably like that is the Nazi salute.
Yeah.
And it's just sickening to see and watch. I think what I have faith in is people. And I think something that helped buoy that in me was the way people in Los Angeles responded to their neighbors who lost everything.
Yeah.
The way people responded to the hurricane stuff. I believe that most people are inherently good and want good things. Sometimes they get tripped up on how to do that or how to get there. But I think – the work that I've done has showed me a lot of people are just in pain. And another element that I was thinking of last night, knowing that this day was kind of coming and it's kind of this heavy like confirmation of the start of something that you have no idea how it's going to end up or how it's going to turn out. And what I realized is I think for so many of us in the millennial generation, and I think Gen Z as well, fighting and advocating for rights was seen as something that was already done.
Yes.
I think it was this thing that you see in black and white pictures of suffrage and civil rights and Stonewall and, you know, all of these different facets of American history that felt so far removed.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that we had just assumed were enshrined in the foundation of this country now.
Yeah.
And to have all of that be thrown into uncertainty is really jarring. And I think we weren't prepared to fight.
Yeah. No, we were I mean, obviously it's like so ignorant. Like,
right. Absolutely. Right? Like,
that is, I think, the other thing about
very privileged.
You know, and, you know, growing up, what, like, you know, our friends of color, like, I don't think they thought that the struggle was over.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Right, in pop culture, in media, even though lots of people of color were left out like it was easy to, I think, be the way history books were written. It was like, we're done. we did it. Everyone actually has, you know, the same rights now. And
you know, I appreciate you filling in that gap, because that I was not at all trying to say like it was actually done. It in no way ever was. Just like Obama was not a harbinger for a post-racial society.
Right, right.
If anything, I think a lot of what Trump is and why Trump came to power in 2016 was a repudiation of everything Obama stand for.
Yeah.
Because he happened to be a black man who spent 8 years in charge and attempting to dismantle and rebuild the system into something that worked better for everybody. And that was really triggering to a lot of people who recognized that they were going to be losing power and influence in that type of a system.
Yeah.
And so now here we are. And this is, again, I think the current Trump administration is a repudiation to Me Too, to Black Lives Matter, to women feeling empowered and emboldened, and statistics that say that women are now in many ways more successful than a lot of men.
But we don't hold as much power.
Hold as much power. Women still only receive 2% of venture capital funding. They only make up 27% of government positions.
My favorite stat is there are more CEOs in like the Fortune 500 company that are named John than like women.
Oh, God. Anyway, last night, I think I was really thinking, like, I think part of why people are so depressed and upset is they are kind of shocked at how hard we are going to have to fight back now.
Yeah.
And it is going to take a lot of energy and a lot of effort that I think people are afraid they don't have the reserves to tap into.
And I think the pandemic is like, oh my God, I don't know. There was something so like emotional for me about the TikTok ban, not even because of TikTok. But it was because it reminded me, not that I missed the pandemic, I don't, but there was something about how like the very early days of TikTok, it's like thinking about when they first said, guys, we're going to be home for 2 weeks. And we all thought that was like so intense and horrible. And how are we going to do it?
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, I'm going to bake bread. I'm going to be so productive during those 2 weeks. And then, right, it was like a year.
Right.
I think it's very interesting and tied to sort of what I've been through also with – I had just gotten married before the pandemic. And my husband and I had kind of been like, you know, we're going to take a few years. We're going to travel. We're going to do all these amazing things. We're going to like live our life. And then we couldn't. And then we decided we were going to have a child, and we figured it would take a year or two. And then I got pregnant immediately. So in my brain, it feels like pre-pandemic. And then I came out of the pandemic and I like had a child and I live in Florida now. And I talked about this on my podcast, actually, when I did the Recover Dish podcast. It's called the pandemic skip, and how many women specifically like lost so many crucial years of their life that is potentially also impacting how we're feeling about having kids too. If you are feeling overwhelmed, sad, angry, frustrated, all of those things that we've been talking about, and you're feeling like you need more support, I would love to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women. We get what you're going through, and if you are looking for a therapist that will support you in this, please check out our website, therapyforwomencenter.com. We have therapists licensed in 42 states across the country, and we have 3 local offices in the Philadelphia area, coming soon to New Jersey and Florida. So again, check us out at therapyforwomencenter.com.
I know I felt like my life went on a 2-year pause.
Yeah.
Like just stopped. Everything stopped.
Oh my God, we've never talked about, because you were working in the hospital during COVID, right?
Oh yeah. I was on shift the day everything shut down.
Oh my God.
I was there. We were watching it. I remember it was like Disney is closing its parks.
Yes.
Major League Baseball is closing its stadiums. Yeah. The NBA is closing everything. The other thing that I find really interesting too, and I genuinely could do like a multi-parter podcast on my experience of living through that.
Yeah.
But something that was so crazy is So the emergency room that I worked in was actually huge.
Mm.
And it was 75 beds.
Yeah.
I've actually found out it's now expanding to 100 beds, wow. which is insane.
Yeah.
So
I don't have a context for that, just so you know. So, I just said, wow, and I have no idea what that means.
Sorry, I should have
How assumed. Many beds are in an average hospital is probably a better question.
So probably around like 30 to 40.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like three times the size.
Yes. And we were having like on average like 250 patients a day.
Wow.
Yeah. Like on our busiest days, that was about the number that we would see. So we were a very, very busy ER.
Mm-hmm.
So at the front entrance of the emergency room, they did this whole overhaul and they built out this area that was called accelerated care.
Mm.
And basically, because a lot of people come to the emergency room for kind of like, oh, I feel sick. I feel this. I feel yeah. that. It's not an emergency. It's more like primary care issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this accelerated care area was for more of these primary care issues.
Yeah.
So there were like 18 rooms in there. Most of them were like curtained. Some yeah. of them had doors. So that opened mid to end of January 2020.
Yeah.
And on March 17th, they sealed off that whole area and that mm-hmm. became the COVID space. Mm-hmm. I didn't go back into that room for 2 years.
Wow. That's insane.
And that was where anybody who they thought had COVID or was testing positive for COVID went in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like there were just things like that that happened that were just wild. And I think collectively, I think something that I feel a lot of bitterness towards mm-hmm. the first Trump administration, and I think mm-hmm. Trump at large, is he ended up sowing so much division and confusion yes. that nobody could take a breath to process the fact that we were going through something so horrific and so yeah. traumatic
yeah.
and so confusing and uncertain. And instead, he just whipped up the most insane level of chaos and confusion and uncertainty.
And racism.
And racism. And for someone that was working in an emergency room yeah. through that, believe it or not, when you don't allow visitors, your parking lot is empty. Right?
Mm.
And people would show up at the hospital trying to break in with cameras to prove that there was nobody there because there were no cars.
Oh my God. I didn't connect those two things together. That is insane.
So people would show up and be like, what the fuck are you yeah. hiding? Like, there's nobody here. Like, this is proof that it's a hoax. You're all in on this lie and this conspiracy. Like, why are you trying to frighten us? Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. After the 9 to 5 hours, we were on call for the entire hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So like at night, sometimes I would have to go up on the ICU and like help somebody
yeah.
who had died or needed services or whatever. So yeah, I heard about that through them, that there were people that tried to like barge into the main entrance of the hospital and multiple times. And they did it to multiple different hospitals, Intermountain hospitals, like throughout Utah and Salt Lake County. And it was wild. Like they literally were like, you're lying. Like you would come out of the hospital and they would be like, why are you lying to us?
Oh my God.
And it did like, what do you, well, like, what do you do with
like
that?
This is right. The precursor of yes. like people yelling at FEMA and yep. like rejecting literally. FEMA's help.
Yep.
Right. Yep. In North Carolina. Yeah. Anywho. So. Pandemic so, yeah, was a hard time.
It was. That was bad. It wasn't great. Don't know if yeah. you remember it, but yeah. it was really shitty. I was in the first 100,000 people in the world to be
wow.
vaccinated.
Wow, because you were a healthcare worker.
Yeah, because I was a healthcare worker.
That's so interesting.
So, but I remember there were people that were like, well, are you going to get it? Like, you haven't had kids yet. It's going to ruin your fertility. Oh, I'm like, please shut up. Like, I'm sorry. I will not argue with you about no. vaccines. I will no. not do it. I hate me if you'd like. I don't care. They are miraculous inventions that have saved millions and millions of lives. And if you don't want to get them, just know
yeah.
there are consequences to that that are horrible. Yes. And in the emergency room, even though we were in a pediatric emergency room, the law is if someone is arresting, mm-hmm. meaning they're having a heart attack or they've stopped breathing or whatever, it doesn't matter what age they are. By law, the emergency room has to take them immediately to the closest emergency room.
Yeah.
So they are stabilized in that emergency room and then transferred out. So I have had children that were from unvaccinated parents that developed meningitis.
Oh my God.
And were like probably going to die. So you get to read and believe whatever you want. And there are consequences to not listening to science. And there are consequences to not listening to people who have spent their lives and dedicated their lives learning about and understanding something. And I think this is across the spectrum. This isn't just vaccines. This is climate change. This is social issues. This is healthcare. This is anything that you can think about. And I think if I boil it down, what I am so angry about with this administration mm-hmm. is how we have turned our back on valid, proven information.
Yes. Yes.
And it is causing mass confusion in what people trust and where people think they can and can't get information from.
Yeah.
And I think it's causing, like, really amplifying this feeling of nihilism that nothing matters. Nobody knows what's really going on. Nobody understands anything. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Everything's doomed. We're cooked. If I see one more person comment, "We're cooked," I'm going to give up my content creation career.
I think what's so hard is the internet becomes a place of coming together and like
right.
talking and making jokes and mm-hmm. being nihilistic in your jokes. And sometimes people who aren't on social media platforms don't understand the context of how people talk.
Right.
And I think what's hard is because, which is like the theme of our podcast and something we say literally every episode, mm-hmm. social media, it makes things more extreme.
Yes.
It starts with, right, someone making a joke that's like, "I want to mm-hmm. give up," right? And it rapidly mm-hmm. goes to complete nihilism. It also feels easier. Like Sam was kind of giving me a pep talk before we started in the best way of just, I think you're really good, Sam. You know a lot about history and you mm-hmm. are very informed about what's going on and things like that. And I keep trying to come back to like, it's what they want. Like they're doing mis- and disinformation on purpose to try to make us not interested in speaking the truth, in talking about what's going on. They want us to not think that we can make a difference.
Yes.
And I'm going to steal the quote that Sam said to me before we started recording. We still have local governments. We still have state governments. Like, there are still structures in place. And I'm going to give the mic to you because you are smarter than me. let's give the pep talk.
Here is my pep talk to you. If you are feeling daunted or intimidated or overwhelmed, understandably so, kind of in a dark place with this administration that has just arrived on our doorstep today, and it feels like they have a bazooka and a flamethrower and a nuclear warhead ready to just eviscerate everything, and we don't know what they're going to use. Mm-hmm. We don't know what level of repair and rebuild we are going to need to have.
Yeah.
What I have reminded myself of is a couple of things. One, the federal government is still standing. The House and the Senate love power. Yeah. They love power. They crave power. They are not going to give that up easily.
Yeah.
Underneath that, we have state governments, which actually I think over 30 state governments are bipartisan, meaning like there's not a supermajority.
Well, Florida is not one of them.
We chose a really crappy place.
I'm sure Utah is also a supermajority as well.
Oh, Utah's a disaster. This place feels blue compared to where I came from. But anyway, I say that not to minimize any of the concern.
Yeah.
But I think there was kind of this attitude as if everything had collapsed now that he was elected. And I want to remind you that that is not true.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure some of you are giving me the rebuttal of, but they have majorities in the House and the Senate. They have a 3-seat majority in the House. Mike Johnson has what's called the Freedom Caucus, up his ass that they don't like anything. So the Freedom Caucus is far right.
Okay.
And their whole thing is they kind of have this obsession with like the debt and the budget and no spending and don't. So like they have torched Donald Trump bills in the past because there were spending in those bills. There's like 20 something members. That three seat majority is evaporated if even three of them are unhappy with what's going on.
Yeah.
And so Marjorie Taylor Greene was a part of that group. Matt Gaetz was a part of that group. There's a bunch of different Jim Jordan. There's a bunch of different people. So Mike Johnson has that problem in the House. In the Senate, they have a three seat majority. Part of the problem is you need the Senate and the House to pass things together. And John Thune, who is the majority leader of the Republicans in the Senate, does not. Like him and Mike on the surface, Mike Johnson, that's the majority leader in the House, they have some issues with things and they don't see eye to eye. And part of why Biden 4 years ago was able to get a bunch done is because Nancy Pelosi, who is the majority leader in the House, and Chuck Schumer, who is the majority leader in the Senate, were in perfect lockstep with his mission. That's not the case right now. So also, an executive order is not an immediate change to law. Congress still has to change law. Executive orders matter. They are not always instantaneous. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they can be stalled and tried in court. That happens a lot.
And we don't know. It just kind of depends.
Yeah, and we don't know. It just depends. I think what really sucks is the low-hanging fruit for Trump is immigration.
Yeah.
I think that is the low-hanging fruit that he is going to go for first. And Tom Holman is the guy that's been put in charge of border and immigration.
God, I know. He's horrible.
And he has literally said till he's blue in the face, shock and awe.
Yeah.
So if you have friends who are illegal immigrants, do your best to protect them. If you see ICE agents, yell La Migra. I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
It's going to be unfortunate because there's going to be a lot of people that are deported. Because I think that is going to be the easiest thing for him to go after. Yeah. I could be wrong, but that's how it is. Also, constitutional amendment, almost impossible to get nowadays. Mm-hmm. You need the House and the Senate, two-thirds. So in the Senate, that would be over 60 senators. Mm-hmm. They don't have a majority. In the House, it would be two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
It's something in like 300 House members would have to agree. They barely have 220.
Yeah.
So like that's not happening. Then even if they were to get past that barrier, two-thirds of the states have to agree to ratify their state constitutions in order to say we are having an amendment to the Constitution. All of that to say, there are, if you look back in history, there are a lot of people who were in a lot of situations a lot less, a lot more hopeless, a lot more dark, without the level of information and resources that we have now, that were able to organize and fight back. And so I say that to remind you, your job right now is twofold. One, it is to take care of you and take care of your people and your community and start building out your life in a way that feels meaningful and purposeful, because that is an insane level of resistance in this type of ecosystem that this administration is trying to build. To say that you love your life and you enjoy your life and you have a life that is full of love is the antithesis of everything that they want. Lean into your community. Build a community if you don't have one. Do what you have to do to get that. The second part is, what are the issues that matter to you most right now? Because you don't have to fix this whole thing. You don't have to go to Washington and figure out how to kick out the oligarchs. That's not your job. You don't have to do that by yourself. If your job is lobbying for tech policy, how can you get behind that and help somebody? Do you want to join your county party seat and speak to people in your county and get to know people and advocate on that grassroots level, great. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be, you know, like helping people drive out of state to get an abortion and help like find funds and resources to help women do that? Great. Like, I think right now is a time to go internal a little bit and decide what is the fight that you feel prepared to take on.
Yeah.
And where are you at in your life right now? And what do you have to give?
Mm-hmm. Because what matters most to you.
Exactly. If all you have to give right now is my home is a safe space for you and I will cook food for you and I will love on you and support you, that is just as important as the attorneys that stand in front of SCOTUS and advocate for our rights, or the House members and the Senate members at the federal and the state level who are fighting to keep this thing going. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we just all need to individually do our little part in our little corner of the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where this is going to end up. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. However, I truly believe in Martin Luther King Jr.'s words when he said, "The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice." And I think maybe there were some of us that needed a wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Those of us that still have privilege to realize that this work is not done. It's far from over. And we have to rest and keep moving. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel hopeless. It's okay to feel frustrated. And that is not a place that you have to live and reside in. Sorry, I've been on a fucking monologue. So
I'm like, this is so good. Should we just end it here? No, it's great, Sam. And I think you can hold both things.
Yeah.
You don't owe the world your misery. No. In fact, it will make it more difficult for you to do the things you care about and put time into making a difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I try to remember that as well as someone who easily falls into that. Like, there is no gold medal.
No.
You don't owe people that. And you're not – people aren't better than you who are more desolate and hopeless. Right. And I worry sometimes that happens on social media. Is like anyone who isn't saying we're cooked, it feels like a betrayal, which I get. It just – I would love to teach people that – you can have thoughts and feelings come up and it doesn't mean that that's actually what you believe.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay to say maybe I was informed by someone else. Someone else's anxiety, someone else's fear, someone else's uncertainty. Because that's what's being shared right now.
Yeah.
Is it's just this collective cluster of fear. And we've been given reason to be afraid.
Yeah.
And that's what's so discouraging and sad, is it's like we have all of these reasons over here to be frightened. And it's okay to look and say, not everything is a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I just really, you know, truly some of the most inspiring people in the world to me from the grand scheme of history would be two. One, civil rights.
Yeah.
Read about civil rights, read about the work for suffrage, read about it, the enfranchisement of women and Black people. It will inspire you of what they went through and what they fought through. Yeah. And the other is the French Resistance during the Second World War. They had nothing. And they were responsible for prepping the invasion of D-Day. D-Day would not have been possible if they had not been running around causing all sorts of mayhem.
Yeah.
And they knew if they were caught, they would die. Yeah. It was inevitable that if they were caught, they would die. And I look to that as if they could find the bravery to show up and fight for what mattered to them, I know in my life right now, as someone who does have privilege, I can show up and fight and advocate and take risk and use my platform for good when I can and getting the word out. And I just, this is my love letter to you, that it is okay if it feels dark, and that doesn't mean that this is the cloud cover we will be living under forever. And I love you and you're great. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think what I get caught in is even when I back up in history, right, it helps. And I think what's hard is it feels like everyone keeps saying we're living in unprecedented times. Yeah. I think what's hard is when you think about history, a lot of us think about the past 100 years or so.
Yeah.
And you see when you look at it, it's like healing. It's like up and down and up and down. But when you zoom out, the trajectory is like justice, as we're saying.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, you feel those ups and downs and you feel the three steps forward, three steps back.
Yep.
I mean, this feels like a few steps forward, five steps. It feels like we've been in that for so long. And with everything with AI and tech and all of this stuff, it sometimes feels like we're in the movie Don't Look Up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think those things are what get me – it's also just – it's so funny, Sam, because I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. I definitely actually haven't. But I am someone who struggles so much with death sometimes, and I can get so dark so quickly. My literal response sometimes, even though I don't mean this, and I am saying this as someone who was suicidal, so I do not take suicide lightly.
Yeah.
My brain feels like when things get too dark, I'm like, I should just – we should just be done. We should just be cooked.
We should just cancel it out.
Like, we should just give up. I joke a lot with my husband that if, like, the zombie apocalypse happens or whatever,
I'm just like, I'm going to lay down.
I'm going to be like, please, you go fight. Go. I'm not built for this. I won't be able to handle the trauma of processing this afterwards. So save the resources.
Don't feed me.
Go. Yeah, like, take Peyton, go. So, yeah, that's the difference in us.
I know. I think for me, you get through trauma how you get through trauma.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I learned that when I zoomed out, I felt better. And when I was able to look at things from that vantage point and actually see the forest through the trees, it felt less scary.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes people can get a little frustrated with me because they're like, just tell me it's shitty. And like, I will. And like, it's hard. And it feels like we are in a really garbage part of the forest.
Yeah.
And it's also a very big forest. And I have faith that somehow we can find our way through this and do things better, even if it's just bit by bit.
Yeah. I keep trying to hold on to hope for myself of thinking back to when Kamala first got nominated and the incredible time on the internet that was.
Oh, that was like.
And watching so many groups of people come together.
Yeah.
That could make me cry. It was just incredible. So I keep trying to be like, those people are still out there.
Yeah. We're still here.
We're still here.
We
didn't get what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all still here. Yeah. And if all of us can still do something to help, we can, you know, fix the damage that's going to happen in the next 4 years.
Yeah. And we'll be here.
Yeah.
Chatting away.
We will.
About nuance.
We will. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Nuance Needed podcast. We would love it if you supported our show. Please rate, review, subscribe, or share. If you're on Spotify, ring that little bell so that you get automatic downloads of our podcast every week. We love doing this podcast so much, and we want to be able to continue to do that, and we need to reach as many people as possible. We appreciate you so much, and we'll see you next week.